that we have a dedication today. Shall we have that pretty young lady's picture on the screen for us to have a look at to remind us one of the reasons why we're here? Is it coming up yet? Thank you. Hey, that is Talitha. That is Ralph and Melinda's daughter. And today they're coming to dedicate her to the Lord. Say amen to that. Today they're coming to give her to the Lord in thanksgiving for blessing them with a beautiful baby girl. Shall we say amen? Amen. Today shall we declare some blessings upon this young lady in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Shall I have some response from you? Amen. Amen. It doesn't cost you to say amen, you know. See, when you say it, you say, let it be, and God will affirm that. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay. Just remind you of my name again, Gideon Nash, and I'm bringing the word of God to you. Thank you so much. We'll catch up with Talitha in a short while. Today I'm going to tell you a story in the Bible from 1 Samuel. It's a story about a man called Samuel, of course. And Samuel, I'm assuming most of you know the story, but nonetheless, I will say it. And the theme of the message is, so now I give the child to the Lord. In fact, this is a statement made by Samuel's mother called Hannah. And Hannah yearned so much for a child, prayed so much for a child, wept so much for a child. And when she got a child, she said, this is the child, God, that I've prayed for. So I give him to the Lord. And I'm thinking, you pray for a child, you get a child and you give it to the Lord? What about you? Hey, God thinks about you. Hallelujah. God thinks about you. We'll try and unpack the message as we go on. If you turn to 1 Samuel chapter 1, we can read a few things together. Just to give you a summary of the story there, it's this. There was a certain man from Ramathaim, a Zophite from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jeroham, son of Elihu, son of Tuhu, son of Zuf, an Ephraimite. He had two wives, and one was called Hannah, and the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. Elkanah worshipped God and led his whole household to Shiloh to do so. But Peninnah provoked Hannah because she had children, but Hannah did not have it. I'm thinking, people thinking, oh gosh, where am I taking this from? Yes. Hannah was barren. Hannah was distressed by the continuous provocation. Yet instead of fighting back, she took her story to the Lord. You see, Elkanah, as the man in the house, he had two wives. Please don't shoot him. That was his culture then. And it is still culture in some places. Unfortunately, it's not our culture here. So if you're looking for two wives, you have to migrate somewhere else. Now, we read that one of the wives, Peninnah, had children, both boys and girls. But Hannah did not have any. Now, the reason why when you started reading, it's giving all those names and everything to tell you that there's a true story, a real story that really happened. And therefore, these are places here on this earth that you can actually go back to, reconnect, to know that God is still there. So, this is a true story. This is not a fantasy story. This is what actually did happen once upon a time. And Hannah did not have a child because she was barren. And I must say that even as we rejoice today that we have Talitha to dedicate her to the Lord, I'm also aware and I'm also conscious of the fact that some of you may be still praying for a child and you haven't got one. Or some of you don't even want a child, and that is all right. But one thing I know, as the Bible tells us in Proverbs, that children are a blessing in a home. It doesn't mean that you are not blessed if you don't have a child. But I want to get all the blessings that I could get if I have children in my home. And therefore, each time you see them walking about or crying and screaming about, is God blessing you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't be so upset when your child is distressed and screaming and everything. She's actually proclaiming blessings upon your life. So you have to say, praise the Lord for my child. Hallelujah. I'm taking liberties with the word of God right now. Hallelujah. But Elkanah worshiped God, and who would lead his household to worship God. But the other wife, Peninnah, will provoke Hannah and say, look, you have no wife. If you think you are a real woman, show by your children. And imagine each day somebody calling their children. Maybe dad calling Clean, calling Lloyd, and then you, that friend, and you haven't got nobody to call. It was quite distressing. Sometimes rubbing it in. But what was important is that the provocation continued, was distressing Hannah to the point that when we go to verse 10 and 11, we read this, in her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord. Hannah prayed to the Lord. And she was weeping bitterly. And she made a vow, saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life. And no razor will ever be used on his head. Literally saying, I am going to give my child to you. That my child will be dedicated to you. My child will be sold out to you. It is my desire, my prayer, that my child will be sold out to you. So for us as Christ followers or God followers or Christians, one of the things, one of the passions, one of the desires that we should have, that if ever God blessed with a child, our first and foremost desire is that, God, I will dedicate this child to you. It doesn't necessarily mean that go and leave your child in the mission house or the man's. But you are saying that, God, you know what? Whatever my child will grow up to be, this child is going to follow you. Proclaim with your mouth. Because with the mouth, we actually claim for things to come. And with the mouth, we can say things which will actually be negative and to also destroy us. Do you get that? Because life and death is in the power of the tongue. That's what the Bible says. So if you want your children to have life, proclaim life over them. If you want your children to be successful, look at them and say, you're the most beautiful person ever on the earth. Even if you think your child is ugly, say you are beautiful. I've never come across a parent who thinks their child is ugly. But whatever it is, just declare that you are the most beautiful person on earth. Somebody may think, oh, I'm Miss England. You don't care about Miss England. You care about your miss or your son. Hallelujah. And therefore, your son is the most beautiful person, the most intelligent person, the person who will succeed in life. Proclaim these life things over your children so that they will grow to become what you expect them to be. Hallelujah. You have nothing to lose. That if you have a child and you pray that, oh, my child will be a prime minister, your child doesn't become a prime minister but secretary of state for what? Home office? Why not? That is good, isn't it? But if you are saying that you're not going to grow up to be anything, you're going to prison, where else do you want your child to go? Your child will never grow up to be anything. Because you put negative things in your child. So Hannah said, if only God, you give me a child, this child will be dedicated unto you. That means Hannah is saying, look, God, you know what? I want my child to be great. I want my child to actually stand like God will stand here on this earth. I want my child to come and succeed like God will succeed here on this earth. I want my child to come and have authority and power and dominion like you are, oh God. Hallelujah. So Hannah was looking at the attribute of God and saying, that is what I want my child to be here on this earth. Your kingdom come, your will be done here on this earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. So Hannah saw this even before Jesus Christ preached it. what we say about our children. So in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant, verse 20. In the course of time, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son and named him Samuel, meaning because I asked the Lord for him. Hallelujah. Because I asked the Lord for him. I don't know what Ralph and Melinda asked for, but I'm sure they've got what they wanted. I haven't asked them yet, but I'm sure they do. But whatever we're saying, that you get what you ask for from God. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 7 that whatever we pray, we'll get it. He said, but for up to date, you haven't asked for anything. See, so when you are walking upon the face of this earth and you don't ask for anything, you think you have to earn everything, you end up with nothing in your hand. Because it's not everything that you can earn. You understand that? You see, you can't just buy a car unless you have the money. You have to earn the money. But then there's some things that you can actually go to God and pray for and say, God, you know what? I really need a new car. I need this job. I need that promotion. I need my money that is being held to be actually released for me. And you don't know what? God is able to do miracles. Hallelujah. You see, Hannah's prayer was a prayer for a miracle. That God, if only you will give me a child, then I will dedicate this child to you. And because she actually prayed such a prayer, she was zealous about it, and she was determined about it, she really wanted to see it, what happened? She became pregnant. Hallelujah. So the desires of your heart, the Bible said, commit your ways to the Lord. Amen? Commit the ways to the Lord, and He will grant you the desires of your heart. Hallelujah. So if your desires of your heart are not being committed to the Lord, how do you expect to get anything? Are you with me? So if you want to get something from the Lord, begin to commit it to the Lord. Even if you have to weep and pray and be bitter up and weep about it and scream about it and cry about it, please do it, because our God is a God of miracles. This is a prayer with an expectation for a miracle. So we should begin to pray such prayers with expectation for miracles in our lives, for the things that are not to be real in our lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You see, Hannah did that. I don't know what Ralph and Melinda did. I'm sure they prayed. Maybe they did not. Maybe it was a wish. Maybe silently they were praying. But whatever it is, when we look at 1 Samuel, chapter 1, verse 27 and 28, he said, and I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked him for. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord, and he will worship the Lord here. Amen. You see, when Hannah got the child, she decided to take care of the child until the child grew up, to wean him. We're thinking about 5 to 6 year old. And then she took him to the house of the Lord and presented him to the high priest, Eli, and said, you know what? This is what I prayed for. This is what I prayed for. And for that reason, I acknowledge that God is the giver of life. He has given me what I have prayed for. And for that reason, I'm coming to present that child to you. Hallelujah. You see, how many times that we pray for things and God give it to us, and then as soon as God give it to us, we forget about God. Sometimes we say, God, you know what? I need a job. I'm going for an interview. Pastor, pray for me. Pastor, fast with me. Oh, church people, pray with me. I need a job. And then God gives you a job. You go to the interview, and they ask you simple questions that are much more simpler than you ever thought. And at the end of the day, they say, the job is yours. And as soon as you get a job, you know what? You begin to worship the job. You get so busy. Oh, I'm so busy, I'm working late. Oh, I'm so busy, I'm going early. I'm so busy, I have to go. I have my on call for Sunday. And you know it's not. Oh, I'm so busy because I'm so tired in the course of the week, so I need to rest. So where is the God that you pray to? Where has he gone? But God is still there, isn't he? God is still God. He has been gracious to you and granted you a blessing. Yours is to come and say, God, you know what? Praise God. Hallelujah. God has given me a job, and I just want to thank God. Praise, hallelujah. Amen. You see, and the way the Bible teaches us, sometimes the way to do it is to physically show by giving a thanksgiving offering, because God has taught us that one of the ways that we have to worship Him is to learn to live a life of thanksgiving. So give a thanksgiving offering and come and present. You can't bring your whole company and put it here, right? So the way to do it is to give a thanksgiving offering. But if God has given you a child that He gave to Hannah, then we have to come and say, you know what? God, You gave me this child. So today I bring Talitha to You and I want to give thanks for her life. Hallelujah. I want to give thanks for her life. I pray for this child. So now I give her to the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Can I hear a bigger answer? Praise God. Hey, that makes God happy. So now I give the child to the Lord. One of the things that we think about is that most people in our generation and in our world believe that it is incompatible to worship God. It's incompatible to have a faith in Christ and still living a normal life. You see, people think that if you are Christian, you are not normal. How many think that way here? Because you are in church, so you don't want to own up. Or somebody has looked at you and thinking you are abnormal because you go to church. Anyone heard that before in your life? Shall we? Okay, a few of you. You see, a lot of people think, especially in our part of the world, that if you go to church or you have a faith right now, it is incompatible with normal life. It is not true. The truth is far from that. It is very compatible because Hannah's time was just like our time. Not as developed as ours, but there was a lot of pressure, there was a lot of work, there was a lot of everything that you think about in our nation was also there. And as the nation of Israel, they were under tremendous pressure at that time. They had no king. They had no leader. The only people that they had were judges. And they were not judges that sit at court. They were people who were administrators and who only fight battles for them. That's all that they had. So everyone did what they want in their lives. So imagine the chaos that was in there when this man was born. And they still worship God. You see, dedicating one's life to Christ and still live a normal life is what I call the genius of the end. Dedicating yourself to follow Christ and also going about your usual things in life gives you the power to be the genius of the end. You see, that means you can still do normal things and you can still worship God. Doing both gives you an edge in life. Doing both gives you an edge in life because of the power in the gospel. Because you begin to live a normal life and a more balanced life. And you become more human in our generation. So today, if we are doing both, to have an edge and make us a balanced human, then we are going to dedicate Talitha to the Lord and still have the best of both. Hallelujah. Do you know there's a bread called best of both? Or some of you don't eat it. If you like white bread, and if you like brown bread, or if you don't like brown bread, dilute it a little bit because brown bread is good for you. So, best of both. Literally, I mean, you have the best of the world. You can still go about your activities and do whatever you want to do. And your money, aspire to be great, and get to the top, get all the things that you want to gather around your property, your car, your wealth, and your investment, and still have a God who will look after you and who will cover your back for you, who will make sure that you even excel more, and who will make sure that at the end of it all, when you die, you'll not be brought into the church and we come and sing some wonderful hymns and say wonderful things about you, which is not even true, but you are actually going to go to the bosom of our Lord if you are in faith with Christ. Hallelujah. There's only one funeral that I've gone to where I've heard somebody come and say such a bad thing about the person who died. I'm sure the person could rise up from the grave and just give the person two slaps, they would have done that. But I see, dead man has no power. When you're dead, you're dead. You have no power. is when you are living that you have to make provision for your future. Just like we make provision for our investment so that one day when we retire, we can actually draw on it. Or maybe we have a life insurance that when we're dead, then the people who live can also not go through so much hardship. The investment for your life and for your soul for eternity is to actually invest in the kingdom of God and be a Christ follower and let God be your God. Hallelujah. It's the genius of the end. We want to have best of both. And I believe that is the reason why our sister and our brother have brought their daughter today to be dedicated. Let's see what this son guy became. Samuel became the genius of the end. That means he had both of the world. What did he do? Samuel came and he was serving the Lord all his life. Then Elkanah went home to Ramah, but the boy ministered before the Lord under Eli the priest. What did Samuel do? Samuel grew in stature and in favor of people. Say favor. Favor. You see, favor is something that you do not deserve, but somebody accord it on you. That means there's a privilege that you need to have. But in most cases, you just don't qualify for it. But somebody decided that, you know what? I want you to have that privilege. That is favor. Hallelujah. Say favor. 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 And say, I am favored of the Lord. I am favored of the Lord. One more time, I'm favored of the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. You see, he grew in stature and in favor. You see, so Samuel, not only was he ministering in the house of the Lord, but he grew in stature. That means he was growing up normal. Yes? If you don't grow up normal, you are not growing in stature. He was growing normal. And had favor, not only in the church, not only in his workplace, but he had favor with all people. So everywhere he went, he was blessed. Everywhere he went, doors were open for him. Everywhere he went, God was with him. Are you with me? And that is what we sign. That, you see, it is all right to be, because the guy was a Christian, or he was in church, and yet he was also in the world, and he was having favor with all. Hallelujah. So it is all right to have a faith in Jesus Christ and still have your job and more so for God to bless you mightily. Amen. You see, favor is not fair. It's not something that you earn. I want to repeat that. You don't earn a favor. Somebody decided to accord you that privilege. Do you understand that? You see, so you don't earn it. So, but we have been taught in our world that everything you must earn. If you don't earn, you can't have. You know what? When you are with God, there are certain things that you may not earn, but you will have, because God has chosen to show you favor. Hallelujah. Say the word favor again. And say that I am favored of the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. What else did Samuel become? Samuel received visions. Right. I mean, if you look at chapter 3, verse 1, the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord and Eli in those days. The word of the Lord were rare. There were not many visions. Now, you see, where sometimes we don't know where we go. Sometimes our life is so fuzzed about. Sometimes it's as if we have no direction. Some of us, we are so scatterbrained. We cannot even organize ourselves. We can't think beyond tomorrow. You know what? Vision is to be able to think about the future. It's like having a dream that compels you to action and walk in the reality of the future. Hallelujah. It's a vision. It's a dream. You see it far coming and it compels you to action. So you begin to do something. So if you begin to see yourself that when you retire at the age of 60 or 65, whatever age, you are going to live good. You have to have that vision and you got to be compelled to action. That means you have to do something about it. So when you get to that age, you begin to enjoy. So right now you sit here and think, you know what? When I am 60, I'm going to have a good life. You know why? Because you have done something that is compelling you to do something to get to that point. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? Exactly. You guys are so bright. 10 times brighter than me. So what we are saying is that, look, we have to have a vision in life. And that time, in Samuel's time, there was vision was rare. Vision from God was rare. Vision for people was rare. But Samuel had a vision. Hallelujah. You see, and he was a worshiper of God. So my brothers and sisters, it is good to have the genius of the end. So the guy had vision for future. He had vision for Israel. At the time, he had vision for the organization of that kingdom. He had a great vision. He was right place at the right time. And we are thinking about a boy who was probably about 9 years old by that time. He was not even so old. Then the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel said, "Here am I." You see, how can you hear the voice of the Lord unless you're in the right place at the right time? And we spent the past 2 months teaching you how to spend time with God, be with God, so you can hear his voice for you. So one of the advantages that you have being a Christian or being a Christ follower who is an active and practicing Christian, a lot of Christians are not practicing Christians. They're only, what, religious Christians, because they only come to church. Other than that, their life is just a label. Are you hearing that? If it is you, God today is calling you to learn something from Samuel. So, what we're saying here today is that God is calling you and me. That we have to be in the right place at the right time. Samuel was in the temple of God, and in the, deep in the night, when even the high priest was fast asleep. Remember, the pastor was sleeping. And the man was awake in the house of God, with his ears open to God. And God called him Samuel, and he heard it. So, I beg you, don't let the pastor be your standard of a Christianity. He or she can model for you. Your church leaders can model for you, and I hope that we do. But let Christ be your standard. Hallelujah. Let Jesus be your standard. And this guy was there modeling, and therefore today I urge you, Mr. and Mrs. Bathel, that you also model Christ to your daughter so that you will not sleep like Eli, but you have your ears open so that when God comes, you'll be at the right place at the right time so you can hear the voice of God, how to bring up your daughter and your children. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, so it goes for every parent. That we have to put our ears out so that we will know what is going on. Sometimes we sleep like Eli, don't we? And we miss out on some of the things that God is saying about our children, some of the warning bells. We miss out, and then we have to pick up the pieces. And picking up the pieces is a lot more difficult than hearing from God and doing what is right and being at the right place. Hallelujah. We need to be in the right place at the right time, and Samuel was. Samuel became the prophet of Israel. He became the spokesperson for God. He became the mouthpiece for God. He became someone who heard and said, "This is what God is saying." And you see, being a Christ follower, even in your secular world, sometimes there are certain things that which is ever so difficult to do. And somehow, if you don't know, you don't know it. You have to learn it. But I have seen that in my own life. In the secular world, sometimes I'm given a project to handle, and everybody says, "Oh, go and give it to Gideon." Nobody wants to touch it because it's a lot of work, or maybe never look at it before. But I never shy away from every difficult things. I look at it and say, "No, God, you know what? I mean, I have a profession which is portable, and I have a brain which I can use, but I've never done this before, and I need some revelation." And I just go on my knees and I pray to God and I say, "God, direct me. If there's somebody out there who knows the answer, I want to know that person so that I can learn from that person. If there's a book somewhere, if there's an internet website somewhere, if there's an organization or a company somewhere or a firm somewhere that have done this before, lead me." And time again, 100%, I am led to somebody or something and I get to learn something and I'm able to do the work. And afterwards, I presented to the board, and they said, "Whoa, that is wonderful. Great. You are great. I'm not great. But you know what? I become a spokesperson for God. Because God has led me to something. So we need to be at a place that we can bring Jesus Christ into." I never told nobody when I was in the secular world that I was a pastor. But I remember one of the jobs that I was actually in a high position, and I was just said, "Okay, look, I'm tired. I'm leaving." And for the first time, the executive director said, "Oh, what about your church?" And I'm thinking, "I never told you about church." I was so shocked that a person knew. But you know what? They will see God in you. Hallelujah. They will see God in the things that you do. Let them see God in everything that you do. And I pray that God, it doesn't matter how bright and how amazing that you are, people need to see God in you. And that is exactly what Samuel was. And Samuel, you know what? He became the last judge. There were 13 judges in Israel when they were united as a nation before they began to have kings. Over 400 period, Samuel became the last judge. So he literally, remember, they gave Samuel into the house of God, but then Samuel became what? The prime minister, the president, the head of state of Israel. Think about that. The genius of the end. So you see, giving your children to God or offering yourself as a sacrifice to God or taking the faith in Christianity is not a waste of time. God can still build you up. Hallelujah. He became the judge of Israel. He was one of the people. Because one of the statements that is said time and time again in the book of Judges, that everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Except who? Samuel. You hear that? Everyone was doing what was right in their own eyes, but Samuel stood out. So you can stand out and still become a secular leader and a leader of a nation, a leader of your job, a manager in your place. You can achieve everything that you want to if you believe God and trust God and do the right things. Hallelujah. Don't let nobody tell that it's a waste of time to be a Christian in this time. Being a Christian in this time is only for poor people. No chance. It's not true. Being a Christian is only for people who couldn't, study or who have no hope, no chance. You have a better hope. You are the genius of the end. Hallelujah. That means you are a genius. You can do both things. And the people who are saying those things, they can only do one thing. Because time and time again, when they hit the rock, you know who they run to? Hey, you have no hope, but you're the one that you come to. I found that for 30 years of my life working, that's exactly what people do. When they are in trouble, first thing, you see them there so distressed, they don't know where to go to. And then they will come to Mr. Nash. To put it in the King James Version, what say thou? What do you think about my situation? I could tell you that what I think about your situation is to be a Christian, but that is not a nice thing to say when somebody is distressed. But you have to hear from God and make sure that you actually share with the person what God is saying to you. So Samuel became a judge. So we are praying and trusting God in the next few minutes to say this. That so now I give the child to the Lord. So now we want to give our daughter Talitha to the Lord. So now we want to give ourselves to the Lord. Hallelujah. Are we going to? Hannah was barren. She didn't have a child. And this story in Luke chapter 2 is about Mary and Joseph. It's a story that we tell in Christmas all the time. Or if you're an occasional church goer, or you go to church during Christmas time, you know it. And here we are. The people didn't even want a child. You hear that? Hannah wanted a child, was desperate for a child, but Mary and Joseph didn't even want a child. They were not ready. Does it sound like you? Hello? Any parent here who is not ready for a child and end up, you make sure, somehow you found yourself with a child? Be honest. Right. What we're saying here is that they didn't even want a child and they had a child. And how did they handle this? They had this child. But we know what Joseph did. Joseph was very distressed about it. He was not ready for the child. He even wanted to. If he knew that there was something like abortion, he would have done it in his time. That was a serious thing, wasn't it? Because he wasn't ready. And sometimes it feels like that in your situation, in somebody's situation. You find yourself landed in a situation you're not ready for. And you think, oh God, I wish it is not like this. But you know what? God is still with you. Hallelujah. God is still with you. That child is going to be great. The thing that you don't want and you've been saddled with, don't throw away. For that child is going to be great. Hallelujah. See, the things that you are struggling with and thinking, oh God, I've been made redundant. But you know what? There's another job coming. And that child will be great. Hallelujah. You see, sometimes we encounter situations in our life that we're thinking, gosh, this one we did not bargain for. But you know what? God is still with you. Like Mary and Joseph, God was with them. And that child will be great. And he became a teacher of the Lord. And prior to that, Mary and Joseph took the child to the temple to be dedicated. That child that they didn't want. At least one of the parents didn't want it. But the other one said, okay, I didn't bargain for this, but I've got it. Nonetheless, I'll treasure all the good things that you angels are telling me about the child. And the Bible said that she treasured it in her heart. That means she kept it. She was praying about it. She was professing about it. She was confessing about it. She was positive about it. She knew that those things were coming into being. Hallelujah. You see, so somehow along the line, hear the voice of God and treasure those things about in your heart and ponder over it and make sure that you chew it, make sure that you confess it, make sure that you look forward to it. And one day this child became a teacher of the law because they went to a festival. They went to a festival and they couldn't find him. And then when he was sat in front of great teachers of the law, and the Bible said they were surprised at his understanding. You can find all this in Luke chapter 2. They were surprised about the depth of his understanding, and they were also surprised about the answers that he gave them. He became a teacher of the Lord because he spent time in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. In the house of the Lord. So he also is the genius of the end. You see, he was spending time in the house of the Lord. Yes, he was on the street and debating. Excellent debater. If you want to know how to debate, read the Bible, read the New Testament. Read the stories of Jesus, how he was debating all these smart guys. He always won the argument. He put them to shame. Sometimes they asked him a question and he gave them a counter question. They said, we don't know the answer. He said, if you don't know the answer, I ain't going to tell you. He was a smart guy. You can learn wisdom from the Bible. The Bible tells in James chapter 1 that anyone lack wisdom, let that person ask who? Ask God. Don't you know this? Our children in a holiday club, they know this. If you want to know, if you lack wisdom, then do what? Ask God. Wisdom, the ability to be able to give the right answer at the right time, give it a condition. That in every condition, every situation, you have an answer for. How can you be so bright? Ask God for that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. He was a teacher of the word of God. He would hold people to account, whether they did right or wrong before God and man. You see, there's a way that seems right unto every man. But you see, there's something which can be said, this is right, this is wrong. Do you understand that? There's a right and there's a wrong. And somehow along the line, one of the things that Jesus did most is to hold people to account. He said, look, consider your ways. Consider your ways. Whether you are doing right or you are doing wrong. When you are doing wrong, you know it, you know. And when you are doing right, you know it as well. Is that true? So, if you know what is right and if you know what is wrong, the Bible said anyone who knows what is right to do and does not do it is considered upon him or imputed upon that person sinful. That means if you do the wrong things, knowing that the right thing to do is there, that means you are sinning before God. And that is what we are saying. Jesus Christ will hold people to account. Why will he be able to hold people to account? Because he did what was right and he knew what was right. So if you do what is right and you know what is right, you're able to hold people to account for what is wrong. Do you understand that? That is exactly what God wanted. So as we compare this to Jesus Christ's life, that is exactly who he became. Now, the challenge here is, that's the last lot. The challenge here today is the child grew up to be great. And today, are you bearing fruit for the Lord, or your life is characterized by barrenness of not having the Lord in your camp? Today, are you ready to receive the Lord as your Savior in your life? Today, are you challenged to rededicate your life to Him? God is looking and searching for you. So now, will you give your life to Him? That is exactly the challenge that I want us to look at today. That even as we prepare to bring our dear sister and daughter, Talitha, to welcome her into the church community, I just want you to bow down your head and we pray. Wherever you are. I want you to have the opportunity to talk to God. And I don't want you to go home today thinking that Christianity is not fashionable. Being a Christian is not the right way to go. I just have explained to you where we are. And it's only the person who is taking Christ as his or her personal Savior and doing what is right before God and putting out your ear to listen to Him like Samuel did, that can be said to be bearing fruit for the Lord. Otherwise, your life is barren. And like Hannah, are you ready to weep? Are you ready to pray to ask God to come into your life? Today, are you ready to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Savior means He will take you out of every harm and anything that will destroy you. Sometimes death can destroy us. Sometimes redundancy can waste us. Sometimes divorce can destroy us. Sometimes just pain can ruin us. Where are you right now? Maybe you're here, you've given your life to Christ, but there's no fruit in you. You're just barren because you're not doing anything to align yourself into the upper story of God. There's no fruitfulness. Today, God is looking and searching for you. So now, will you give your life to Him? So even as your life, your head is bowed, if today you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, I'm not going to embarrass you at all. You just wave at me and I'm going to pray for you. You don't have to be looking around to other people. It's all a personal thing. Just continue praying for you. You know where you're at. Or maybe you want to rededicate your life to Jesus Christ. You want to, just like Hannah, so now I give Him to the Lord. So now, do you want to give your life to the Lord? So now, do you want to rededicate your life to the Lord? If that is you, just wave at me. I'm going to pray for you wherever you are. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. At least I know two hands that have waved at me. You don't have to look around and see who they are. Where are you right now in your relationship to God? Do you want to rededicate your life to Christ? Do you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Just wave at me. I'm going to give you this chance because you may never get it again. And death can come anytime. And where will you spend eternity? That's the point. Father God, I pray. And you can pray with me, church. Lord Jesus, today we come to you. We accept Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior because we know we cannot save ourselves. Only Christ alone can save us. Today, I give my life to you. I ask the Holy Spirit to come and stay within me, to transform me, to make me a Christ follower. Today I rededicate my life to you so that God, you will take it and do as you wish with it. And I know the outcome is going to be good for my benefit. I thank you for Jesus Christ. I thank you for the cross. I thank you for the resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen.